And we are live.
Welcome back to Checkpoint, brought to you by Strictly Casual, your number one show, rounding up all the hottest gaming news stories of the week and discussing all the relevant topics you need to know about. I'm one of your hosts, James Walmer, with today my wonderful co-host, best friend, ex-roommate, all of the above, the spiciest meatball in gaming, Vincent DeSantis.
What?
Vincent.
Yeah.
I'm not going to hand it off to you yet.
Okay.
I'm cucking right. You for a second, right, okay?
Take the mic.
Audio listeners, thank you so much. You can find us on YouTube at youtube.com/casual. Please hit us with a rating on audio platforms and sub. It helps us out a lot. What else we got going on the channel?
She-Hulk has two more episodes. Writers doing live watch parties for that. Andor comes out tonight. You can expect a little bit of content for that, I'm sure, eventually. And Game of Thrones, we're going to be doing a half-season review at the end of the week here, and then do a final season review when it's all over. But
oh shit, I gotta catch up.
This is the fifth episode, so they're switching cast now. They're doing they're aging them up.
Yep, they're doing the time skip.
It's a big time skip this time instead of like the year to 3 years that we've had previously. So
yep,
pretty cool. That's about it.
Incredible, Vincent. We got a bone to pick specifically about Panera Bread.
Pick my bones.
What's up with you and Panera Bread?
What do you mean? Ask me what.
You said it hasn't been 2 years since I've had Panera Bread.
Probably.
But what I want to know is what put you in a position to where you on a Wednesday night said, you know what, I'm going to order some food. And out of all of the options you have around you in the great Livermore, California, said, I want Panera. And what item is it at Panera that you ordered?
Great question. Number one, I didn't make the decision. It was whatever my sister was ordering, and I jumped on that order. That's
all right.
That.
So really, we need Gianna in here.
We do. Will she? I don't think so. She won't.
Ask her right now.
I can't do it. I can't do it. She
okay,
won't do
that's
it.
Fine.
What did I get though? I got the pick two.
What's the pick two?
Pick two is, you know, you're not getting a full of anything. You're getting two halves, so it's a half salad, half sandwich type dealio. And it's
okay.
I got the Asian chicken salad, and I don't remember what kind of sandwich I got. It's gonna be a surprise when I get out there because I really don't remember what I got.
Maybe a little caprese.
No, I got the chipotle avocado something
that chicken.
I'm sure there's a meat in there. Don't know. I'm sure it is chicken, but I don't know how they present the chicken in this case. But
okay,
James, let's get down to the nitty gritty because damn, it's been a long day for both of us. I think
it has been a very long day for both of us.
I had a long, long work day. We're shooting this Wednesday night instead of Thursday morning because James, Mr. Big Modeling shoot tomorrow morning. Let's freaking go.
I got a big modeling shoot tomorrow. Yep. Yeah.
Wow.
First modeling gig with Greats Shoes. If you're familiar with them, modeling two pairs of shoes for them. I get a free pair of shoes as payment and I get to pick the shoes. I get to go on their website and they say, hey, pick whatever you want. And I get it. Huge dub.
James, have you been playing any games this week?
Can't say I have, Chief.
Okay, that's totally fair. You're not in a position to play games if you don't have many with you.
But you know what? Shout out, friend of the show, genuine friend of the show, Braxton Zenobio, texted me out of the blue today.
Yeah.
No, yesterday.
Sure.
And he said, James, hope you're doing well. Hope New York is treating you well. I want to know how much it costs to ship you your PlayStation 5. God of War Ragnarok is coming out later this year.
Wow.
And I need to make sure that you play it.
Wow.
So I need to know how much shipping is. And I said, I don't know how much shipping is. Is there a way I can check? And he says, you know what? My buddy works for UPS. Mm-hmm. Give me your zip code and we'll work it out.
Wow.
We'll work out the details.
That's awesome.
So shout out Braxton. Real homie. Real friend. Just love that guy a lot. Braxton. Kisses from the East Coast.
Big kisses. That's awesome. Good for him. He's checking up, making sure that you can play game of the year. You know what I mean?
Exactly. I still don't have a monitor yet, but
we'll figure it out. One step at a time.
We'll figure it out.
One step at a time. I watched all of Cyberpunk Edgerunners this week, James, and it was absolutely incredible.
Oh, shit. How many episodes?
10. And it led me to download Cyberpunk for PS5 and try to get my save working again. And guess what? They fixed it, and
holy
I got
shit.
My save from PS4 to PS5, jumped in, played all of, I don't know, 30, 40 minutes or something like that. It was late last night, but
Cool. Yeah.
It was nice. I haven't gotten to experience the next-gen version yet, and it runs great. So that was awesome. But I highly recommend the show to anybody that hasn't watched it. I know this is not the movie podcast, but damn, it's so good. It is so good.
I hear nothing but good things.
Yeah, highly recommend it. Mm-hmm. And then I finished Last of Us Part 1.
Shit.
Yeah, which was great. Which was so good.
Can we be expecting a little re-review?
Maybe. I haven't played Left Behind yet either, which I feel like it's part of the package deal with this one.
I agree.
So I'll have to get around to that to do it, but it's the Last of Us you know and love, just better. And I'm jealous that people got to experience it this way for the first time. That's how good it is.
Yeah.
So it's awesome.
Cool.
Yeah.
Let's dive Vincent, in. Take us into the news this week. Actually, no, you know what? I'll take us in and then
I want you to take
the Twitch article.
Just the start. You can take the news, but like, let me intro this article.
Do whatever you want.
Obviously the biggest news this week, if you're into games at all, is the GTA 6 leak, you know, which is,
yeah, in terms of like scope and actual like legal repercussions,
it's probably the biggest leak ever. It's 90 videos that were over 10 minutes long, so we're talking hours of leaked content, but we'll get
900 minutes of footage.
So much. So this article comes from Giovanni Colantonio, something like that.
Colantonio.
And his article is saying that the Grand Theft Auto leak is bad for everyone, the consumer and industry. And I read this article, is incredible. It's on Digital Trends. I highly recommend you go check it out. I DM'd Giovanni after this just to see if he responded just to say that it was a great article and it was super thought provoking and stuff like that. And he responded, he just said like, thanks so much for reaching out. Like you really don't hear, like usually people just read it and move on and stuff. So like, thank you so much for reaching out. So super awesome.
Oh.
Giovanni,
did you tell me you were going to talk about it on the show?
I didn't want to sound like
I was. You should have got Giovanni on the show.
He runs a podcast that has a similar audience size as us, I would say. It's called Left Trigger, Right Trigger. And so.
Oh, cool.
Definitely, maybe some potential there. But regardless, this is chopped up from his article. Read the whole thing. We don't say that a lot here. Usually we're able to summarize it pretty good, but there's some key articles that I'm like, please just go read the whole thing because it's really well written.
Mm-hmm.
Take it away, James. Sorry.
No, you're good. In the dead of night on Saturday, this was last Saturday, a user on GTA forums posted a bombshell. 90 videos pulled from an early build of Grand Theft Auto 6. On Monday morning, Rockstar publicly confirmed the authenticity of the clips, noting that they were stolen in a, quote, network intrusion, unquote. The developer says that the breach won't have any long-term effect on the project, lamenting that its creators are simply disappointed that it was revealed in such a manner.
It was revealed today, by the way, that the hacker got in through Rockstar's Slack. So,
oh, shit.
And that is also what happened to an Uber hack as well, is through Slack. So, pretty crazy. Just random detail.
Wow.
Yeah.
Slack needs to get their shit together, I guess, in terms of cybersecurity. Apparently. Sounds like.
Yeah.
Anyway, while perhaps not much may change for Grand Theft Auto 6's development cycle, the leak has already spurred some heated discussions and debates, reactions and debates. Some have complained about how the early unfinished build looks. Well, unfinished. Others have used it as another way to dunk on the recently released Saints Row, joking that the rough GTA footage already looks better than a fully finished game. Developers are lamenting for their peers whose work in progress is now being dissected by fans who might not really understand what they're looking at. In the confusing aftermath of the unprecedented leak, there's a question that's lingered in my mind for the past 24 hours. This is Giovanni speaking. What does anyone actually gain from seeing early footage of Grand Theft Auto 6? Those years of anticipation have now gone out with a whimper. Rather than getting introduced to the world of GTA 6. Hold on, my Google Docs is reconnecting, so I want to make sure.
And your camera's totally Discord. Dead. Camera's been dead for a hot sec, but I'm hoping it comes back. Do you want me to keep reading if you disconnect and reconnect? It's still dead.
Yeah, okay. Keep reading.
All right, I'll keep reading. So, those years of anticipation have now gone out with a whimper. Rather than getting introduced to the world of GTA 6 with a carefully assembled trailer, fans have now seen it through a series of rough vignettes pulled from an early build. While it's unlikely to affect the game's bottom line, it does put a damper on its eventual reveal, for better or for worse. If the conversation surrounding the GTA 6 leaks are any indication, there's more reason to keep it secret. Some of the immediate reaction to the footage is already proof of that, with a subset of players complaining about how the build looks, a frustrating response to a work in progress never intended for public consumption. James, take the last one, if you're good. I guess.
Yeah, let's try it out. Grand Theft Auto 6 does eventually come out.
You're good. It's lagging. So I think time I say something to you, there's a second and a half to 2 second delay from when you hear it. So it's like a delayed response back right now because of the bad Wi-Fi.
Damn, okay. I guess we just got to take it slow.
Well, not slow. Yeah, just go. You just go for it.
All right. When Grand Theft Auto 6 does eventually come out, it'll now be subject to an extra layer of scrutiny. You'll likely see fans comparing the final game to the leak videos and dissecting what's changed. And while that'll be an informative experience for anyone who really wants to see how games are made, it's a potential nightmare for Rockstar depending on how much the release changes between now and then. Vince, I have a question regarding this article. Giovanni makes a point that not much it may change for Grand Theft Auto 6's development cycle, but I was seeing a lot of people on Twitter, especially like Tony Polanco. Mm-hmm. He was saying that this could mean a very much delayed Grand Theft Auto 6. I don't know if Rockstar's statement has regarded any of their development cycle changes. Can you tell me more about that?
Rockstar came out and said this is going to have no change, like no effect on their development. They're just going to keep pushing through. Now, I'm sure there will be some sort of effect to that. It's a behind the scenes thing that they have to take care of. You know, it's like, I don't think, it's not like they're scrapping what they've made.
Are you talking about security?
No, not security. Like, they're going to, obviously security they're going to have to deal with, but they are also going to have to deal with people have seen GTA 6 now and some things they wanted to keep hidden. Like, for instance, in the leak, there's a lot of roleplay mechanics in it now, as in like GTA is so popular right now, it's getting re-pushed to life because of NoPixel and
revitalized
life because of all this, and those are like inherently built into the game now, which is very, very cool. But that is such a huge selling point that now is out there, right? So they're going to have to be creative in ways to market this, you know, and what is going to be surprising?
Right.
What are people going to actually be surprised about instead of like, oh yeah, we saw that at the leak. What else do they have? Which sucks.
Yeah. Well, I also want to like give a little bit of benefit of the doubt to Rockstar and their marketing team.
Yeah.
Not because like, not due to their skills, but like in terms of who's actually going to be seeing this leaked footage. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think the people... I mean, this is actually hard for me to say. I'm not sure if huge Rockstar people are going to be looking at the leaked footage. I don't know what that attitude is to say, like, what percentage of people would go and say, yeah, I really want to see everything that's out right now because I really want this game. Or people are like, you know what? What's another year? What's another six months, however long?
And that's just, you know? I don't know, a mindset of that people may have or people might not have, you know?
Right. It's hard to gauge, hard to have the data on that. I'd like to see it. I'd like to see who, like if there's a public data source on people who look at leaks, that'd be interesting.
Another thing that was kind of coming out with all this that I thought was very interesting and worth noting is that there are so many people saying like, oh, it looks bad because of this and this and this. Whereas in reality, this footage that we're seeing is 2 years old now. And so people were sharing, like different studios were sharing their games at the same level stage of development.
Right, like Horizon Zero Dawn.
Horizon Zero Dawn did it. Uncharted, like they, Naughty Dog posted the chase scene, the car chase scene, like in stages before it was built. Just a lot of studios coming out and like showing that kind of stuff. That like you guys have no idea how games are developed to the general population, you know, like you can't be criticizing a game based on a 2-year-old build when like most of the things you see might be changed, like they might not exist in the game anymore
or probably are changed. Like the original build, the 2-year old build of Horizon Zero Dawn was like a dude in a ghillie suit with a gun.
Yeah, well, they were using Killzone assets. That's what they were saying, because they didn't even have built. They didn't have Aloy built yet, so they're like, let's drop in a Killzone person just to, as a character model for this.
That's really funny.
Yeah. But anyways, I'm bummed for Rockstar that they don't get to show, or they don't get to have that reveal.
Make the reveal, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think they will. I think it'll take more creativity, but I think they will have it.
Yeah. You see a lot of true colors, I guess, of people coming out being like just shitting on it. Like, dude, you're like entitled. Yeah. These people are entitled. I don't know.
Yep. Hey, that's the gaming community, Vincent.
Totally the gaming community. Sucks.
It's just the way it is.
Yeah.
Vincent, I'm going to move on to the Logitech stuff so that you can lead the way on the Twitch stuff.
Sounds good.
So, also this week, was this today, Vincent?
This is this morning. Yep.
This morning, Logitech reveals its G Cloud handheld. This comes from WindowsCentral.com. Logitech has teamed up with Microsoft and NVIDIA to offer a handheld based entirely on Xbox and NVIDIA GeForce Now gaming services. Logitech G Cloud Gaming Handheld is an Android-based all-in-one gaming handheld with Wi-Fi and Bluetooth support set to launch in October 2022. The handheld comes with Xbox Cloud Gaming and NVIDIA GeForce Now bundled as standard with support for Google Play services with access to services like Stadia, Amazon Luna, and Steam Link, among other gaming apps. It starts at $349 and is set to launch in the US and Canada next month, with other regions to follow later. Pre-orders are $299 so I guess you get a little bit of an early bird discount.
Yeah.
Cloud games are great on mobile devices in a pinch, but even the biggest phone screens aren't great at accommodating the small fonts designed for television screens and monitors. This device seems like it could be a far more optimized handheld Xbox experience. It will support superior battery life to devices like Steam Deck, It will support superior battery life to devices like the Steam Deck without draining your phone's main battery in the process. It remains to be seen how well it performs in practice, but the Logitech G Cloud could be a promising solution for those hooked on the cutting edge of cloud services from Microsoft, NVIDIA, and more. Vincent.
Talk to me.
When we were talking about Logitech G Cloud earlier, you seemed very not about it.
No.
Or at least you thought, like, this is very unnecessary.
100%. I would way rather spend $50 more and buy a Steam Deck, which is also a proprietary system.
But what about
system.
The battery life?
I'm not a cloud gamer, James. This is only cloud gaming. It's only like remote plays and the cloud gaming services and stuff. You can't actually download anything onto it. Just apps. You know, like, I don't have any use for this. It's $50 less than a PS5. It's $50 more than an Xbox Series S. You could be playing next gen for, unless, I don't know any situation for which cloud gaming would be better in this sense. I can't think of a good scenario here for like, oh man, this is actually perfect for you. There's another device that is better, you know?
I guess.
I see no value in this for me personally. I may be someone out there. I would like to hear why you would want this, right?
What if I just want to play roguelites?
James,
like, what if I just want to connect to this and...
What if I told just, you that you could connect to that on an app on your phone for some roguelites? What if I told you...
No, I don't want to play on my phone.
Okay, laptop.
Nobody wants to play games on their phone or their laptop on the go. Because you know what? You look like a schlep playing games on the go on your phone. You're tapping on the screen. People will think you're playing fucking Candy Crush. When you want to let people know you're playing fucking Hades. You're playing fucking Call of Duties.
Sure.
They don't need to... You don't want people to think that you're playing... That you're just some casual. That you're just some... I don't know. Schmuck playing Candy Crush or Clash of Clans or what have you.
Let me tell you what I'm not doing, though. I'm not paying $350 for an image. I'm just not going to do it, you know, for how people are going to see it. I can't do it. I think this is a fully unnecessary system. I don't know how my mic be changing.
We don't have any other cloud mobile gaming devices.
Right here, baby.
Hey, battery life is precious in 2022.
You're absolutely correct. You're absolutely correct. But
you need to say battery life because you know you got your phone. We're adults. We use our phones for things other than games.
Absolutely. I don't even game. I don't even game on my phone. I really don't.
Exactly.
And I'm still right.
I don't have games on my phone either.
No.
I don't have a single game installed on my phone right now.
I actually do, but it's for work. I had to download one last week. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know.
But here's okay, so Vincent, let me add to this. I'm gonna preface this argument because I thought that I would be making a much different argument about a few months ago because I was like, you know what, on the train, play a game. Here's the thing about New York trains, no service. No. They all run underground. There's no fucking service underground. So cloud gaming, out the window.
Yep. Right.
Unless you're taking the bus. You could sacrifice, take the bus, then it could be cloud gaming. But even then, you got dead zones, you got other shit like that.
Well, yeah, you're going to have to like connect on a hotspot on your phone or something like that, or get a cell plan for your Logitech G Cloud. Like, what does this look like? I don't know. I don't know. You got to have good internet to cloud game. I don't know. It doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm sure this works for somebody, but I can give an example of something I would rather do for less of a price to do the same thing.
I would like to hear a good argument from someone who is strongly considering or does have a Logitech G Cloud. Or sorry, someone who is planning on purchasing a Logitech G Cloud.
Mm-hmm. I'd rather jailbreak my Switch and have it do the same thing.
Yeah.
Which is doable. Hey, this does have a 1080 screen though. So something that the Switch does not have. There you go. There's an argument.
What's this? Doesn't the Steam Deck also not have a 1080 screen?
No, it has a 1080, right? Or is it 930 or something like that? It's a weird.
I thought it was like 930 or something like that. I thought Steam it was a weird Deck. Resolution.
I feel like I need to be right on the Steam Deck. No, I mean, we need to be correct on this. Sorry. Oh,
yeah.
1280 by 800 pixels. So it is a little less on the LC, on the display. With 60 refresh rate. I don't know what the refresh rate is on the
I think the Switch is like 30. Or are you talking about Logitech?
Yeah.
I don't know. Let's find out.
Refresh rate. 60 hertz. Okay, so it's got the best screen. We've already maybe that.
It does have the best screen. We also haven't, like, we don't know anything about terms of, like, comfortability or, like, build quality, things like that.
Some people have had hands-on with it, though, but I haven't really heard.
Paris does.
Mm, yeah. Right.
Yeah, go check out Paris if you want
to. Also, it's super light in comparison to the Steam Deck on a weight, you know, level.
Yeah.
Cool. I don't know. I don't see any need for it.
I don't either.
But awesome. It looks fun. It looks cool.
It's a shoulder shrug with a thumbs up from Vin.
This is very interesting.
Okay, what are you reading?
I'll have to talk to you offline about this, actually. That's an offline conversation. That was interesting.
Okay.
Wow.
Okay.
Wow. Okay. Moving on to the next thing, James. I'm going to take you right into it. This is our clip,
yep,
so I'm going to have to edit this out. And we are at 23 minutes right now, just a mental note. Okay, here we go.
We're burning.
Oh,
we're burning, baby.
We're doing great. Okay, here we go. Clip, we got to be on fire. Here we go.
I'm on 10, baby. Okay.
This week, Twitch has completely fumbled the bag, plus more. And a little rare W that we got as well. But let's start with... let's start with DL. This comes straight from the Twitch blog. And this is on top of the Twitch drama that's going on. You can go follow up on that, on all the streamers that are, you know, there's these just, I don't even know. A lot of people arguing right now. It's making the whole platform shaky with its top creators. That out of the way, though, we have some Twitch business side of things that are just questionable, I would say. The worst of it is going to hit its top creators right now, and that is the fact that Twitch will not offer a 70-30 split anymore. And if you don't know what that is, that means from revenue that streamers make on Twitch, this is partners, because partners make 70-30. Well, some partners after our last update. That means the creator makes 70% of whatever they make, and Twitch gets 30% of whatever the streamer makes. But Twitch came out and said, Twitch is too expensive. They said it's too expensive to run. Therefore, they can no longer afford to only take 30%, and so they will have to take 50% now of those top creators.
Crazy.
Absolutely insane, especially because that is a push to get that 70-30 split. Like, affiliates get the 50% when you hit partner. It's a big change. It's a big switch, right? But they clarified this even further now. For streamers with that already have the 70-30 split, they'll go down to 50-50 after they make $100,000. So they're limiting how much money they can make on the platform.
Is that per year or overall?
I believe it's an overall. Once they hit 100,000, the 70-30 is gone, and now we're at 70-30. And yeah, they just cite video hosting costs as a reason to move away from the 70-30, which is insane to me.
So I have a question.
Hit me.
Do affiliates also, do they continue to earn 50-50, or does their margin get dropped as well?
I believe they continue to make 50-50, but I wouldn't be surprised if that changes, because who knows? They've been switching all of their you know, rules, all of their opinions and things that they've done. But here's the next little piece of this too, is that Twitch bans gambling this week as well. Okay.
It's true.
But not all gambling, only slots and roulette and stuff like that. Websites,
which I didn't know what was going on the platform.
Huge, huge market for this.
I had no idea.
Oh, people love watching people fail, James. People love watching people spend a bunch of money and not making their money back. It's just...
Okay, yeah, fair enough.
It's the downfall.
People, I see the appeal. Downfall.
Yeah. So this comes from GamesIndustry.biz, but a Twitch streamer has admitted he'd lied to his fans and fellow influencers when asking for money, raising at least $200,000 to fund his gambling habit. Now, his DMs kind of got leaked, hitting up some of the top creators, James, saying, hey, I'm out of money. Can you loan me $1,000? Can you loan me a couple $1,000? Like, I promise I'm good for it. That sort of thing. Just to fuel his gambling addiction.
Which streamers?
It was a streamer. His name is Slicker. S-L-I-K-E-R. Abram Mohammed.
Who did he hit up for the money?
Some of the biggest. XQC, Ludwig. We have Ms. Kiff, I believe. Pokimane. Like, we're talking just, you know, the biggest streamers were all hit with this. Myth. A lot of people declined to give him money, but I mean, some people did. And now this is where it gets interesting. Meanwhile, some streamers, including Felix XQC and Ludwig, they will try to pay people back who were scammed by Mohammed, providing they can prove he took their money, which is fascinating. It's really interesting stuff, because gambling... The issue here, James, is that these gambling companies pay the streamers to stream them gambling, like a lot of money. Right. So morally, that gets corrupted as well, with whether you're for or against gambling. Because you could be gambling for fun and you can have a gambling problem, and the gray area is huge. Like, there's a huge gray area there. But it can influence a lot of people's spending habits. Scary stuff.
Yeah.
With all this, James, I need to ask a couple questions. Is the writing on the wall for Twitch? We have had constant battles here for the platform changing its policies and just pushing their creators to the sidelines with a lot of things. Now, obviously, maybe the stop of gambling, it's a needed win in this case for them, right? But there's too much else going on where it seems very insignificant. Do you think Twitch has a future? Obviously has a future. Do you think it has a long future?
I think that's hard for me to say. Like, about a year ago, we were talking about how people were like moving in a mass exodus away from Twitch. People getting signed to YouTube Live and doing their thing over there. But I don't know what the growth is like on that platform.
Huge.
I'm talking to really
some more huge creators have just gotten picked up in the last month. Some big creators.
Really?
Yep. Absolutely. And with their promises to changes, they're promising to change, and they have roadmaps of improving their stream communities on YouTube.
That's promising. However, I think Twitch has cornered a market in terms of their branding. Like, Twitch is known as the streaming platform.
Yep.
YouTube, while it has streaming, is not, you don't think of it as a streaming platform. Yep. You think of it as a content creation, like YouTube, like video production platform. They have other things that are also popular. But you're never, I don't know if you're ever going to think of YouTube and think anything that is not primarily for videos, like edited, cut videos.
Yeah, I do agree with that. I would say that Twitch right now has the community aspect of, even though Twitch's discoverability is pretty much nothing, it sucks, it's terrible, it's something that people have been asking to be fixed for so long. YouTube has even less discoverability. You cannot find people streaming games. You can find videos of games and stuff like that, but you really have to get in the weeds to find somebody actually streaming something. So that is that's a huge blow for them. And even the interface, when you go to watch a stream, it's not a friendly experience. Whereas Twitch, when you go to watch live stream, it's a much more inviting experience. And you know
there's a lot of interactability. Like, there's a lot of creator tools for people to interact with the stream.
So they have a huge uphill battle there, but James, I'm not going to lie, all this stuff is making me think of, like, wow, I have a little bit of, you know, something created on Twitch from streaming there for like 2.5 years now, right? But it makes me want to bulk up my own YouTube a little bit, because I don't know. I really don't know. And that, like, hint of scariness is enough for me to be like, wow, this is something to think about, something to think about a lot.
Do you think you'll make the full move over?
Not anytime soon. Not anytime soon. You'd be starting from scratch, which is okay. It's just the start from scratch is rough. The big creators can do it very easily because they have fans that will follow them anywhere on any platform. There's a convenience factor of growth. When you're not on Twitch, you lose the convenience viewers that are just watching you because you're live, that you're there, not the people that would follow you back and forth. And that's the hard truth for a lot of small streamers out there, the convenience factor.
Mm-hmm.
So, anything else you want to add to the Twitch discussion? There was just a lot of stuff this week.
No, I think this was absolutely crazy. Twitch is one of those platforms that I just watch.
Yeah.
Like, I just watch what happens. It is a fun platform to watch and see what happens, even though I'm not a partaker in streaming as a whole.
Absolutely. And I think streaming in a sense is in its infancy. Of it's only been like the last 10 years have made that been a thing, but at the same time
I agree that it's still in its infancy.
I think it is past. I think it is not the goal anymore for a lot of people, and more of, like, some people have stream career goals, right? But I think the direction that streaming in general is going, and the viewers that watch streams and everything, it becomes a supporting thing to something else.
Yeah.
Which is how we do Strictly Casual. That's how we do Strictly Casual streams. It's not our main focus, but when we do have a stream, it is supportive of our other videos. It's awesome. So it's just another way to do things. So with that being said, if you want to listen to this entire podcast, you can go to audio platforms, type in Strictly Casual Checkpoint. We'll be right there with a little blue box. It'll say Checkpoint in yellow. Subscribe right there. It'll help us a lot. And if you want to watch more videos on clips on movies, TV, video games, and all that kind of stuff, stick right here with Strictly Casual. Thank you guys for watching. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye. Bam. Okay. Good clip. James, tell me about
great.
What's next?
We got the NVIDIA revealing their 40 series cards. Spoiler alert, they're fucking bricks. They're so fucking big.
Yeah.
This comes from NVIDIA.com. Powered by the new ultra efficient NVIDIA Ada Lovelace third generation RTX architecture, GeForce RTX 40 series graphics cards are beyond fast, giving gamers and creators a quantum leap in performance, AI powered graphics, more immersive gaming experiences, and the fastest content creation workflows. With the new GeForce RTX 4090 and the GeForce RTX 4080, your system will have the power to render fully simulated, fully ray traced worlds at the highest resolutions with incredible levels of detail and unbelievable performance. Ada also powers new features that further enhance your experience, including NVIDIA DLSS 3, which multiplies frame rates using the new optical flow accelerator, NVIDIA RTX Remix, which enables you to easily make incredible mods with ray tracing and DLSS shader execution reordering, which revolutionizes ray traced rendering, AV1 dual decoder speed up video exports by up to 2 times, and significantly improved quality in live streams and video calls. When you upgrade GeForce RTX 40 series, you're not just getting the fastest GPUs in existence, you're being welcomed into the world's most advanced GPU ecosystem, filled with applications and technologies that leverage our decades of experience, industry-leading AI, and class-leading hardware, to enhance your PC experience every second of the day.
And that 4090 is the MSRP of $1,499. Sheesh.
$1,500.
Yeah. Did I see what now? You asked me what I saw?
Did you see the Portal gameplay that is ray traced?
Yeah, pretty cool. Pretty awesome.
Fucking awesome.
They also said that Cyberpunk is going to get a new ability for, it's like DLSS ray tracing or something, which is double the amount of ray tracing that it previously had at maxed out. And so they're adding some sort of update where you can access that with the 40 series GPUs. And they showed some screenshots and videos. And good God, it doesn't even look, it looks like Uncanny Valley. Like, there, this is real, or like this is crazy. So pretty cool. I don't know. I'm sure a lot of games will support that eventually, but.
Vincent, will you be picking one up?
No, I got a 2060, dude. I got a lot of upgrading to go for that. I would like to upgrade my PC before I go there. $1,500? You think I got $1,500?
I feel like that's a primary upgrade.
It is. Dog, I had to spend $1,000 on my car yesterday. Booty cheeks, dude. It's terrible. Sucks. I could buy 2 Xboxes for the amount I just put into my car. And it was all things you can't even see. You know what I mean? You got the maintenance garbage. Garbage. Anyways.
Garbage.
I would like to get a 4080, but then I have to increase my power supply. I don't know if I have enough PCI, or it's like a 4-card slot, and so I need to like make sure that
your PCI Express.
Oh, I couldn't do it because I have my 4K60, my Elgato baked in right there. So that's like, right. There's all sorts of things I'd have to think about, and honestly, I don't need it. My 2060 is not terrible; it's not the best, but I'd be happy with a 30 series coming up soon, eventually, when all these release in the 30 series go down a little bit.
Yeah.
All right, let's go into RFS and finish this episode off, baby.
Last one in the AFC Richmond are in FIFA 23. That's pretty fucking cool.
You cut out so much right there, but let me reintroduce RFS, the random fun stuff, our favorite part of the show. Okay, James, now go. What is the first bullet point?
Ted Lasso and AFC Richmond are in FIFA 23.
Beautiful. Thank you. The entire team was scanned into FIFA 23, and you can play them. I think that's pretty cool.
Awesome.
Yeah. We got a new Xbox September update. Has fully overhauled the game library, storage location selection, and more. Like customizing the color of your Xbox button on the Elite Series 2 controllers. You can change the color. The LED.
The color of the light?
Yeah.
Whoa. That's awesome. 2K got hacked, so if you have a 2K account, change passwords.
And this hack was also Slack. Isn't that? That's the other one I was thinking of. It was Uber, 2K, and Rockstar. They were all Slack-based hacks, which is wild.
Wow. Slack hacks.
And then Yoshi P confirmed that the next Final Fantasy 16 trailer will likely be out next month. Pretty awesome. Can't wait for this.
Also,
I forget
there's a Final Fantasy 7 Crisis Core steelbook that's coming out.
And it's $49 for PS5.
Vincent is absolutely going to get.
I am buying it.
It's pretty fucking awesome.
It's going to be awesome.
It's a great steelbook. It's better than the original Final Fantasy 7 steelbook.
Yes, but not as good as the Intergrade steelbook because that one's awesome. It's the whole cast sitting on these like steel beams looking out at the sunset. I really like it. It's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
All right, everybody. Thank you so much for watching episode 131 of Checkpoint, brought to you by Strictly Casual. James, any final words for the people?
Thanks for putting up with my bad internet.
It's okay, James. We love you enough to where it's not that big of a deal.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get you an Ethernet cable, and then it'll be all fine. No big deal. It'll be all good.
Yep.
Guys, We'll see you next week for episode 132. See ya.